All right, are we ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please. We're reaching back into the Old Testament. There are a lot of great treasures of truth in the Old Testament, as much as there is in the, as much as there are in the New Testament. So, all right, we've been on a series that we started last Sunday that we've entitled The Heart of God. And we said that, I said that the question that has been most asked me in 31 years of ministry is, how do I get closer to God? How do I get close to the Almighty? How do I have a personal relationship with God? Well, if you ask the culture, you're going to get all kinds of different quote-unquote paths of enlightenment. You're going to get all kinds of different pilgrimages to certain places. Some people say go to the mountains, you can meet God there. Go to the beaches, you can meet God there. But who would agree with me this morning that the only way to have a relationship with God is through Christ and not mountaintops and not beaches? Amen? You know, I've been to the mountains and I love the mountains. I've got to say, I love the mountains more than I love a beach. Who's with me on that? I mean, it's just the rarefied air of being 10,000 feet above sea level is just awesome. Anyway, the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. So if I need to get closer to God, would it not behoove me to find out what truly is in the heart of God? What does God value? What does God prize? What things does God treasure? What brings Him pleasure? What honors Him? What makes Him happy? Right? I mean, when I was courting Cindy, I wanted to find out what was in her heart. Because once I found out what was in her heart, then I can pursue her. I can start looking at the things that she values, that she prizes in this life, and I can pursue her through that, through those means. And God is no different. That's what we've entitled this series, The Heart of God. Now, last week we looked very quickly at the one thing that is center and foremost on God's heart. Who would agree with me is His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. It's pretty plain. And that is the only way to the heart of God. Right? My wife knows that one of the ways to my heart is good cooking. And boy, that girl can cook. Wow. She's the best cook I've ever had. Yesterday she boiled her own iced tea, and I was drinking. I was like, man, this is some of the best. Didn't I tell you? This is some of the best iced tea I've ever had, freshly brewed and everything. She's like, man, I can do better. And she can. But I was like, very impressed. Anyway, the reality is, church family, if I'm going to get closer to God, I want to find out what's in God's heart. If I want to get closer to God, it always has to be through His one and only beloved Son. Amen? Now, let's look at the second thing. The first thing foremost on God's heart is Jesus Christ, His Son. Secondly, the second thing that is foremost on God's heart, we're going to look at in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to begin with a very familiar verse of Scripture. Okay? Very, very familiar. If my people, verse 14... If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, notice carefully, verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made. Where? What are the last three words of that? In this place. So let me ask you, open book quiz. in what place? What? The temple. Notice verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. Notice carefully, church family, that my name may be there for how long?
Forever.
And my eyes, and what are the next three words? And my what? And my heart will be there forever or perpetually. Where are God's eyes and where is God's heart? In the temple. I love the Message Bible that reads out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 16. He says, my eyes are on it and my heart is in it always. So let's talk about the temple. You know, the temple was built. It was destroyed, rebuilt. By the time of Jesus, it had been in rebuild mode for, listen carefully, 90 years and was still not finished. It was a magnificent structure. And how many of us know that Jesus went to the temple often? Don't the Gospels say that it was his custom to go there to worship? Right? And so could we say that Jesus went to church? Okay, let me ask that again. Can we say that Jesus went to church?
Yes.
Thank you. Because that was church back then. Now, very quick history lesson. In 70 AD, Roman general Titus stormed in, set the entire city of Jerusalem on fire. The temple was destroyed. These were rabble rousers. You know what they did? They blocked the entrances to the city of Jerusalem so that no food could get in. So there was a horrible starvation to the tune of the Jews resorting to eat animals that were forbidden to eat, or even, listen carefully, church family, this is how devastating it was, or people ate their own children just to survive. 70 AD. Could we say that was a drastic judgment of God? Didn't Jesus call it? He said, you know, there will be a time when not one stone will be left upon another. And then 1.1 million Jews died. That was swift judgment, wasn't it? Jesus said as he was riding into Jerusalem, you know, on that day, on Palm Sunday is what we call it. He said, you ignored the day of the visitation of your God. So the point there is that there is no more temple. Or is there? Because if you fast forward to the New Testament, listen, the temple was considered the house of God. Notice carefully, notice verse 15. He said, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now, verse 16, I have chosen and sanctified this what?
House.
Now prayer is made and has been chosen in this house. Who understands now? So let's fast forward to the New Testament. In the New Testament, after that happened, what is considered the temple? Our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right? Verses 18 through 20. We are not of our own. We have been bought at a price. Therefore, God, worship God in your spirit and in your body. For your body, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? Now, let's look at what the house of God is considered in the New Testament as opposed to what it was considered in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the house of God was the what? Temple. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the what of God?
House.
In the house of God, which is the what?
Church.
The house of God is the what?
Church.
The church, the house of God, rather, is the what?
Church,
church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Who would agree with me, church family, that even as God's eyes were on the temple, that God's heart was in the temple, how much more is that fulfilled now in the church? Right? The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So then we can say that God's eyes are all the more on His church, and His heart is in His church. Right? Who would agree with me that the church is not a building? Church is what happens in the building. Church is the gathering together of God's people to honor the name of Jesus Christ. Am I right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, if two or three have gathered together in my honor, there will I be in the midst of them. So Jesus is in our midst, and His eyes are on us as a church, and His heart is in us as a church. Amen. Amen? Okay, so very simple. So then why, and I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop here, okay? Then why do some people oppose going to church if God's heart is in church? People, if God's heart is in the church and I want to get closer to God, doesn't it stand to reason? I mean, look, I'm not the brightest bulb in the tanning bed, but this little mathematical equation that I'm about to present to you makes a lot of sense to me. If I want to get close to God and I know God's heart is in His church, then why don't I want to be a part of the church that His heart is in? Well, I like to live stream. Well, baby, I mean, it's better than nothing, but who would agree with me if there's nothing like being present in church?
Amen.
You don't get the fellowship on live stream. You don't feel the presence of the Lord. You don't feel the love of the saints or the love of Jesus Christ, the support and the presence and the acceptance, come on somebody, that there is in the body of Christ. Right? Why do we oppose it? God's heart is in the church. Listen, I've invested, I don't know how many years, since I was 15, that many years till now, what is that, 40 years of my life, virtually, in church? I remember when I was a teenage kid, God's grace got a hold of my life so strongly that I would be at church before the doors were open. I would wait 15, 20 minutes, and then I'd be the first one in church. And sometimes when they had two services on Wednesday night, I would stay for the second service on Wednesday night. Well, you're a fanatic. You know what? Maybe I was a fanatic. Would I do that today? Nah. I'm a quicker learner now, but listen, the point is, church family, it's not about having a life in church. Because let me say here, a little parenthetical thought. Some people have no life outside of church. Yoo-hoo! I mean, they're like little rabbits going from bunny hole to bunny hole to bunny hole, from church event to church event to church event, and they have no life out where the real people are. What I mean by real people, people who need Jesus. Don't you think we gather to learn so we can scatter to serve? Jesus didn't say, I want you to have your every waking moment in the doors, within the doors and the walls of the church. There's balance to this. And let me say here, how many of y'all know that I see some of the most honest things at times, and I just kind of sometimes let the chips fall. And some of those people that just have every waking moment in church, listen, they're a little lopsided, they're a little awkward because they're not based in reality. Didn't Jesus say, you're not of the world? But didn't he say, you're still in the world? So shouldn't believers not come across like some very detached people? I should get away from this thought, because we're trying to encourage people to be a part where God's heart is in. Listen, Matthew chapter 16, let's look at that, verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my what?
Church.
My church. That's the first mention of the word church in the entire Bible. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. Who would agree with me that over the centuries, millennia, two millennia, the church has suffered great attacks from many, many, many different sources? You know, the Muslims attacked the Church of Jesus Christ. The Roman emperors would kill off Christians like they were just little pest dispensers. They would just go through and boom, 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 just kill them off like nothing. Who agrees with me that some of God's people have done their contribution to killing off the church? I'm going to address that, church family. How many of y'all know? I don't even have to say it anymore. You know that I keep it real. There are a lot of people today that the only reason why they don't go to church is because of some blithering idiot Christians who were hateful and judgmental and anything but Christ-like. Right? And who would agree with me that there are always going to be people in our lives, whether we know them personally or not, that will say, well, you're a hypocrite. You go to church and you call yourself a Christian and you have that Bible. I used to hear from my dad. And you have that Bible under your arm. You know, here I am as a young man trying to live for the Lord, trying to live a life that is right. And here I have the one man that should be supporting it is attacking it. Well, you, here you are with your Bible, you claim all this stuff, and you think you're a Christian, but look at you. Well, can we be real about this, church family? Well, listen, if you're such hot stuff, why don't you try walking by faith? Who knows that walking by faith is not that easy? You trust an invisible God with invisible promises that are not yet materialized in the midst of a very real and very visible problem. Is that okay? We keep it real. If you think you're that much hot stuff, then try walking in love. Try biting your tongue when you want to give someone a piece of your mind. Try turning the other cheek. See, this is what I have against these judgmental people, church family, is because they're criticizing from the sidelines. We, you and me, are engaged in the battle. And let me quote a saying that's one of my all-time favorite sayings in the world. Unless you're in the arena getting your butt kicked along mine, I'm not interested in your opinion. So, zip it up. Can I have some amens in the house then, please?
Amen.
Thank you. I've heard it. You know, my friends, the critic, it is not the critic that counts. It's the man who is actually in the arena, full of sweat, blood, and tears.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you just came to church?
Yes.
It's interesting. But Jesus built the church, and he's the one, listen carefully, he's the one building the church, and nothing's going to bring that church down, is it? The gates of hell will assault it, but they will not prevail against it. I think of the televangelist. Didn't televangelists share in the contribution of a potential demise of the church? And you know what? The church is still growing. The church is still expanding. The kingdom of God is still manifesting in parts all over the world in places where it had never been manifested. Why? Simply this, the church has got to be divine, or you and I would have killed it off a long time ago. Right? Isn't it Christ Church? Aren't God's eyes on us? Isn't His heart in us, church family? So if I want to get closer to God, doesn't it stand to reason I need to plug into church? And I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, this is probably one of the most loving churches. I shouldn't even say probably. This is definitely one of the most loving churches I've ever seen and been around. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But show me a church that is. Yoo-hoo! I don't know of any perfect churches. But I will say this. This is a very loving church, a very giving church, very generous church. Listen, when there are needs, some of you aren't aware of this, possibly, but I'll let them know. You know, we have meetings here behind closed doors, and sometimes needs of certain real people with real needs come up, and the church is always willing to bless them monetarily. And I don't mean just bless them with a little, barely get-by gift. I mean bless them abundantly. Try to find fault with that. God's heart is in His church. The church is a physical, visible manifestation of His invisible nature. Right, church family? We are the church. If I want to get close to God, then I've got to want to come to church. Right? I will have... Who's discovered that when you go to church, you have a much better week? Isn't that a great way to start off your week? By going to church, you get your spiritual tank filled here. Who would agree with me that you get fed here? Thank you. See, I didn't have to prompt you. I think I've trained you well enough. Listen, you hear stuff here in church, unless you listen to other preachers on YouTube or on certain podcasts, that you're not going to hear on CNN. You're not going to hear on... You sure as heck aren't going to hear it on The View. I'm glad Elizabeth Hasselbeck is out of that pit. What's that one lady's name? Is it Joy Behar? Did I get that right? Lord, save her soul. That's putting it nicely, people. She once went off thinking that I'm kind of running on little trail, rabbit trails. I'm almost done, church people. But somebody said that they hear God. Well, she went off, nobody hears God. Well, I know you don't. Amen. You hear the God of this world, the devil. Well, that's not a nice joke. That's the truth. Amen. Had Jesus been here, you know what His message to her and many other people would have been? You are of your father, the devil. I know my popularity just sunk about 30 points on that one. But you know what? I'm not a politician. I'm a man of God. Amen. Thank you. All right. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this Word, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to plug into Your heart. And Your heart is on Your church. Father, Your eyes are on us. Your heart is in us. We seek to do Your will. We seek to be a blessing to people. We seek to get the message across so that more lives could believe, could see, believe, and turn their lives over to You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for that. Father, I pray that You would place the importance, the sense of urgency to come to church, Lord God, to be filled spiritually, to receive the guidance, to receive the encouragement that there is in the Scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.